Congress left town this week without resolving a funding crisis in a federal program that helps bridge the digital divide. Subsidized internet access is threatened now for schools, libraries, and rural medical clinics because of a change in accounting standards at the Federal Communications Commission. The subsidy for all telephone service in rural areas could be next. One fix would raise long-distance bills for all phone users, as NPR's Howard Berkus explains.
In southwestern North Dakota, where grasslands give way to badlands, school superintendent Tony Deletsky is worried about the internet.
And we are in jeopardy of not getting funded at this point, which would put a financial crunch of about $40,000 on our school system.
That's the school system in Bowman, North Dakota, population 1,600. The money pays for two super-fast T1 internet lines, bringing in interactive high school and college courses students and townspeople wouldn't otherwise get without long drives or moving.
What that does virtually keeps them within this community to where they don't leave our community, so we don't have a community brain drain, so to speak.
The phone bill for that is subsidized by a federal program. More subsidized T1 lines are 40 miles down the road at the West River Medical Center, where Wade Blend maintains internet links to outlying clinics and a city hospital 150 miles away.
Physicians can access information faster and provide better care at our remote clinic sites. We have a system-wide information system that tracks lab results, medical records, and dictation on patients. So from a patient care standpoint, it's very important that those networks are in place.
The bill for that is close to $30,000 a year. Last year, nearly $2 billion subsidized high-speed internet access for schools, libraries, and rural medical providers. This wasn't money from the federal budget. It came from surcharges on long-distance bills, and it was flowing freely until the Federal Communications Commission changed the way it accounts for the funds. Frank Gumper chairs the private FCC-chartered group that distributes these internet subsidies.
Under these new rules, we'll probably be able to make commitments on half of the dollar amounts of the applications that are ready to go. The other half are going to have to wait into next year until we can collect more money.
In the past, this money was promised before it was actually collected. The surcharge on long-distance bills kept the subsidy fund steadily replenished and payments were made on time. But the practice violates government accounting standards and federal accounting law, according to the FCC, because it commits money before it's available. So now thousands of commitment letters are on hold, worth more than $700 million. Again, Frank Gumper.
We're already hearing some schools are starting to disconnect their internet service in their classrooms because they don't have any assurance that they're ever going to get paid for it.
The FCC could pump cash into the subsidy program by raising the surcharge on long-distance bills. Consumer groups and long-distance companies resist that. But the surcharge will really balloon if the FCC applies the same accounting law to an even bigger subsidy, the $3 billion supporting broadband and basic phone service for rural homes and businesses. Paul Schetzler runs the Rural Telephone Cooperative in southwestern North Dakota.
You're kind of squeezed in the middle because on the one hand, we hear the comments of how we are going to push to have broadband services to all the end users and all the customers and in rural America and all of America. And on the other hand, the funding that is available to help us do that is in jeopardy. I don't know if it's ironic or tragic.
Congress is considering a one-year exemption for all these subsidies from the newly applied accounting law. That's supposed to allow time for the FCC and subsidy recipients to adjust. The House passed the measure last weekend. The Senate may consider it next month. Howard Berkus, NPR News.